As one era slows to a halt, another is gathering steam. Later today, the U.S. Senate is expected to confirm some of Mr. Bush's more popular cabinet nominees: General Colin Powell at the State Department, Donald Rumsfeld at Defense, Paul O'Neill at Treasury. Next week, still other confirmation votes are expected, including that of Attorney General designee John Ashcroft. Our Dan Shore discussed the shape of the administration to come with E.J. Dionne, columnist for The Washington Post and senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks, senior editor at The Weekly Standard.
President-elect Bush, as we won't have to call him much longer, came to Washington advertising himself as the unifier, the great conciliator. This past week has been mainly taken up with confirmation hearings. How do you think, E.J. Dionne, he has done on unification?
At best, a mixed record. I think most of his appointees are clearly acceptable to Democrats and Republicans. Colin Powell went through with flying colors. Tommy Thompson didn't get much trouble from people who are pro-choice on abortion. But obviously, the fights over John Ashcroft for Attorney General and Gail Norton for Secretary of the Interior are something less than uniting rather than dividing appointments. And I think even if both of them are confirmed, these hearings suggest that there's going to be an enormous amount of scrutiny of them from Democrats, and I think you're going to see the equivalent of an Ashcroft watch by liberal groups that's going to be just like the Clinton watches that we've seen for the last 8 years.
David?
Yeah, I think the Ashcroft thing is almost a sideshow. The liberal interest groups raise their hackles, and the conservative interest groups raise their hackles, but abortion is not going to be the major issue over the next few months. It's going to be economic issues and defense issues. I think Bush has acted reasonably impressively in claiming a mandate, whether the election gave him one or not. I think he's done reasonably well by pushing missile defense quite much more strongly than I would have anticipated, pushing the tax cut more strongly. So he has been reasonably on the offense, I would say.
And I think that's the question about the Bush presidency, whether or not that is a wise strategy. And we'll see how it works out. And as for Ashcroft, I don't think the issue is abortion. I think the real issue will be civil rights. And that's what people are going to
watch. All right, that lets me narrow the question a little bit. Here is a president-elect who seemed to be very sorry that he got so few votes from minorities. If he took Ashcroft, this certainly would not give him the votes of minorities any more than he's gotten them. On the other hand, clearly this had to be done to pay off a couple of IOUs from the Christian right. So has he basically chosen the Christian right over minorities?
I actually think this whole nomination has been over-punditized and over-examined. You know, John Ashcroft, like George W. Bush, is quite a religious person. I think Bush, and the reporting supports this, looked at Ashcroft months and even years ago and saw someone whose religious faith was similar to his own, with whom he felt comfortable with. And Bush, when he nominated Ashcroft, I'm sure didn't know about the Ronnie White thing. And so I think it was a simple choice of someone who's like me. I don't think it was a payoff for one people. I don't think it was meant to design to offend other people. I think Bush certainly does realize that he has a long way to go to unite the country, and he just has to keep plucking at it.
Simple choice, CJ?
I think, as I said earlier, I think civil rights is much more the issue. And if the Bush people didn't know about the Ronnie White case when Bush named him, then they didn't vet John Ashcroft at all. This was a clearly powerful moment that angered a lot of people. Conservatives such as Stuart Taylor wrote a very powerful piece in the National Journal criticizing John Ashcroft for what he called character assassination in the Ronnie White thing. So I don't think that's a trivial part of this. I do think John Ashcroft had a kind of history of family connections with the Bush administration, with the Bush family, with the elder Bush. And so I think the combination of naming an attorney general who would make religious conservatives happy combined with that history is are both central reasons why he's there. If he had nominated Mark Roscoe, the former governor of Montana, who is also a pro-lifer, I don't think he would have had any of this kind of opposition.
Or Governor Keating of Oklahoma,
right,
who was in the running.
A lot of conservatives, including me, sort of wish he had appointed Roscoe or Keating, because they are more aggressive people and, frankly, more aggressive in their intellect and in their decision-making skills. But what Bush seems to go for, and you really have to listen to his language here, he always says so-and-so has a good heart. So-and-so has a good heart. Well, John Ashcroft, by that standard, has a good heart. Elaine Chao has a good heart, the woman who was nominated to be Secretary of Labor after Linda Chavez dropped out. Both of those people are not intellectually aggressive, with a few exceptions in their careers. They are softer, less assertive personalities, but they mix with the compassionate conservative side of Bush, who is not intellectually aggressive either. I think it's important to get the temperament of this cabinet right, which is, for the most part, these are not sort of strident conservatives. They are conservatives, but not of a strident sort.
I want to agree with David on one point here, which is this whole notion of whether somebody has a good heart or not. I'm willing to assume that most of these people have good hearts. I think the issues at stake are not whether they're good people, but what they're going to do with the office they hold. And what you're seeing is a fight focused really on two nominees, John Ashcroft, because the attorney general's job is one of the most powerful jobs in the government, and Gail Norton, because her views in the past, at least, very strongly pro-property rights, seem to undermine where environmental regulation has been in the last 10 years. Those are serious issues. The other thing that's remarkable, of course, about these hearings is the way in which people have said, well, my past views will really have nothing whatsoever to do with what I do with this office. And that's kind of disturbing, I think, in some ways, both to conservatives and to liberals, because you don't know where they really stand.
And as Bush comes, Clinton goes, and he goes with a deal that prevents his being indicted. Talk for a moment about him.
Well, I'm just struck. Well, of course, a new precedent has been set. Clinton can't leave town without setting another precedent, being the first president to cop a plea. But the thing that strikes me is he goes out in a burst of rhetorical Clintonism. This is his statement upon copping this plea. I tried to walk a fine line between acting lawfully and testifying falsely, but I now recognize I did not fully accomplish that goal. As if, A, it was okay to, if he had testified falsely while walking that fine line, as if that was okay. And then just the idea of testifying falsely on purpose, but somehow thinking that would be an acceptable way to proceed is just a burst of Clintonism that takes us so deep into what it's been like around here for the past 8 years.
Your last word to Clinton.
Well, I don't think this is Clintonism. I think it's a legalese negotiated by lawyers. Clinton did a great favor to George W. Bush. He saved him from the big fight that was going to happen over whether he should be pardoned. He wanted this thing ended with. And we're going to see in 5 or 10 years whether we judge this decade primarily by the scandals or primarily by the good things that happened in the decade. And Clinton's going to spend the rest of his life fighting for the better interpretation.
Thank you, E.J. Dionne. Thank you, David Brooks. This is Daniel Shore.